This is Mythical.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/rs10 today.
Hungarian-born writer George Lang once said, "Paprika is to the Hungarian cuisine as wit is to its conversation. Not just a superficial garnish, but an integral element." Like, that's cool and all, George, but what the heck is it, and why do I keep pronouncing it paprika? This is A Hot Dog is a Sandwich.
Ketchup is a smoothie.
Yeah, I put ice in my cereal, so what?
That makes no sense.
A hot dog is a sandwich.
A hot dog is a sandwich.
What?
Welcome to our podcast, A Hot Dog is a Sandwich, the show where we break down the world's biggest food debates. I'm your host, Josh Scherer.
And I'm your host, Nicole Eniady.
And Nicole, today we're discovering why I mispronounce words so badly, such as paprika.
I feel like you Google all words before you say them, though.
I do. I believe the Hungarian pronunciation, paprika, right, is paprika. A Hungarian word. And I believe the Hungarian pronunciation is closer to paprika. Like, I think there's more.
Paprika.
Like, paprika. Paprika.
Paprika.
Chicken so paprika.
So the accent is on the P.
I think the emphasis is on the first syllable. I believe is the case. But Ooh. No, someone once accused me of being the Giada De Laurentiis of all Latin and Asian foods.
Sometimes.
Spaghetti.
I think you're tortilla. I think you're just trying to give like the word the benefit of the doubt and like not bastardize
try
it.
Try and be as respectful as possible. Yeah, that said, I know nothing about the Hungarian language. How much Hungarian do you speak?
What if I just busted out like a whole like monologue in Hungarian? Wouldn't that be rad? I don't know anything about Hungary other than I am hungry right now. Didn't eat breakfast.
Wow. Nice to meet you, Hungry. I'm Dad. anyways, today we're talking all about, I'm just going to say paprika for the sake of the show.
Yeah, I would say paprika too. Yeah, that's fine.
But not a lot of people seem to know what paprika is other than the red spice that makes things red in their pantry, right?
I think it makes food yummier.
In what way? What does paprika taste like to you?
That's really hard to describe because there's so many different kinds of paprika.
No, I'm not.
So, like, whenever I just think of run-of-the-mill, like, Walmart paprika, you put your finger in and you lick it. I actually licked it. I don't know. I think it's like a mild, peppery, dried vegetable flavor.
One, if you're getting Walmart paprika, it probably just tastes like red dust.
Yeah,
which
but I'm
is
just
fine.
Thinking of the everyman right now.
Yeah, no, of course. Yeah. But I mean, I think that's why there's so much confusion about
sure,
it, right?
Yeah.
It's because people
Smart
just know
final.
It.
Like, you know.
It's like a lot of paprika that you get to me reminds me of getting like dried parsley, right?
Sure.
Where it's going to taste like almost nothing.
Nothing, yeah.
But it puts a little green specks on your food, which makes it more enticing.
Yummy!
Exactly. Like, I literally, in my own pantry, I've talked a lot about how sometimes I'm very agnostic on certain spices.
Okay.
Or dried herbs or whatever.
Sure.
And if I'm marinating chicken, I just want green flecks on there. Right?
Okay.
And so I will throw in whatever. Oregano, basil,
sure.
Marjoram. I combine it all into one little jar of green flecks and just go...
Yeah.
Throw it on my chicken.
Sure.
Ditto with paprika, where it's just like, I'm not focusing on the flavor of paprika. I want my chicken to be a little bit red.
Red, yeah.
Because it looks better. And if it looks better, it's going to taste better.
Yeah, I get that.
But that said, paprika is like an incredibly diverse spice with a really fascinating history behind it.
Mm-hmm.
And when it comes down to it, it's chili powder.
Yeah.
That's what it is. It is European chili powder.
You're exactly. On the spectrum of chili powder, it is maybe the least offensive or least strong.
Well, I mean,
weakest.
Well, when you say chili powder, what are you referring to?
Well, I think of the container that says chili powder.
No, agreed. Same here. But like, right? Like, what pepper is that? What pepper is being ground into that?
Probably a melange of peppers.
Probably yeah. Whatever's cheapest, right? Whatever's sure. being sold over at the Smart and Final or at the Walmart. Mm-hmm. They combine in chili pepper. Ditto with yeah. paprika. If you sort of think about paprika as just European chili powder. It sort of makes sense, especially sure. in the way that if you go to Mexico, right? Think about how many different chili powders you and I have in the pantry right
so
now in our
many.
Kitchen.
Just right? tons.
Ancho, California chili powder, New Mexico chili powder. And those
Mirage.
Are just Mirage chili powder from
Aleppo
from Syria. Like, yeah. And then even all the Mexican chili powder. We have dried jalapeno powder, chipotle powder, habanero powder.
We do.
There's the same thing with paprika.
Oh, wow.
With all the different Hungarian or Spanish cultivars of pepper. And of course, all of that is also coming from America, right? Like,
sure.
no, I mean, if you consider the greater Americas, there's the same relationship with paprika where there's so many different Hungarian cultivars, but all of them came from America originally, right? Or the New World, as you would say, like from, you know, Central America and Mexico, mm-hmm. there would be no chilies in the entire world without that. So when you think of how spicy Thai food is, right?
Yes.
Those peppers didn't exist in Thailand until the 15th century, and they were brought there via trade routes. Ditto with anything.
From the Americas?
From the Americas, yeah.
Really?
Yeah, just That's none wild. Of that existed. So, I mean, even like Peruvian traders and sailors, you know, that stuff was all just coming from that region.
So they would bring it to the region, and then because the region had like a different biodiversity, like different chilies would come out of there?
Exactly. And
cool.
so that's where we get a lot of these like sweet peppers from Hungary mm-hmm. that have created, because if you really had to break down the difference between quote unquote chili powder and quote unquote paprika, I'm putting okay. both of those in quotes because
well, they can mean whatever.
Exactly. Exactly.
Want, yeah.
The main difference is that a lot of chili powders from Mexico are going to be spicier, and a lot of paprikas are going to be sweeter, but they are ultimately just dried, desiccated, powdered mm-hmm. capsicum, right? Would
Correct.
Be the scientific term for it.
Correct.
And the reason for that is because the cold climate in Hungary, right? They have to ripen for a lot longer, and they were selectively breeding to have mm-hmm. sweeter peppers that weren't, you know, quite as spicy because there wasn't as much of like a history there. And so now there's something like, you know, I mean, there's an unlimited amount of pepper cultivars that you can get
yeah.
in Hungary, but they've like, you know, codified them into like 8 different kinds of paprika.
Oh,
but
cool.
we don't really know those in America, right? We know like
yes.
sweet paprika,
yeah.
hot paprika, and then
smoked,
which is smoked paprika.
Do you like smoked paprika?
I love smoked paprika.
Okay.
It's like it's like liquid smoke to me, where I love it.
I'm like on the fence about smoked paprika.
It's very strong.
I do love hot paprika, though. That's fun for me.
Yeah.
My question is, do you think that, I mean, like, I don't know if this is real or not, but don't you feel like people's taste buds have just become desensitized now? And like we have, like, and we now like try to make spicier or more different peppers?
Yeah.
Because of it. Isn't that like confusing though? Like for our brains?
I think we
do you know
I think,
what I'm saying? I might
no,
be a
I do.
Bit vague, but if you can just take what I said and like make it more concise for the people to digest, please.
No, I think like we've gotten in this arms race with
yeah.
chili peppers.
Yeah.
And this is maybe a change of topic, but you see it a lot in the packaged chips world.
Yeah.
Where like Doritos, I remember maybe 15 years ago came out with a fiery habanero Dorito. And that's when habanero this is before a lot of the ghost chili, the scorpion pepper, the reaper, mm-hmm. the blah, blah, blah,
Ouch.
All this stuff. Pepper X, Dragon's Breath.
These names are just like
the Butthole Scorcher 3000. But they had a habanero flavor of chip, and it was really spicy, and it was mm-hmm. almost at like the top level of spice that you can get in a packaged food before Ooh. It's just alienating people, right?
Yeah. Have you ever had paprika chips?
Which is what I was going to talk about, because paprika
God.
Chips are dank. But
they
I think
slap.
People... Paprika isn't as sexy of a name as like ghost chili limon. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I just think paprika gets like a bad rap. It's like
it
the
does.
Redheaded stepchild of the.
It
of
is
the
literally
chili pepper.
The red powdered stepchild.
Yeah,
of
I feel
the
like it
pantry.
Doesn't get a lot of love. But if you learn how to like cook with paprika, like if you make a good beef goulash or like a chicken mm-hmm. paprikash, I actually think the flavor of paprika is quite pleasant. You
I
just
agree.
Have to know how to use it. Like you, it's kind of like bay leaves.
100%. I was
oh
going to bring that
gosh.
Up.
Oh my gosh.
No,
yeah. It's like, it's kind of like the bay leaf.
We're like so in sync.
Are you Lance Bass? Because I was a Lance Bass girl, but I feel like I'm now
JC Chazay. Let's go.
Oh my gosh. I'm such a JC Chazay girl now that I'm a little bit more mature.
I like what Lance Bass has done to the nightlife scene in WeHo. He's always mobbing around
He's hot.
Owns a couple bars. He's so hot. The point is, much like bay leaves, where you're not going to taste the flavor of a bay leaf unless you make bay leaf the star, same with paprika.
Yeah, I've noticed that, yeah.
And so if you have a dish like chicken paprikash, which I'm just faking what I think Hungarian sounds like.
I think that's good pronunciation. Diners, drive-ins, and dives when he goes to like a Hungarian place.
Has he gone to a lot of Hungarian places?
I feel like every time I turn on the TV, this guy being Guy Fieri, is eating chicken paprikash. I don't know. Is that like not something he does all the time?
I feel like there are a couple episodes that I always turn on and Guy Fieri's always eating the same garlic shrimp from a truck in Maui. I've seen that episode like 15 times and
My
I don't know what it is.
My dad's seen that episode like 15 times. He loves that stuff.
Point is, if you make paprika the star, that's when you really find out what it tastes like, right?
What the heck paprika is.
Exactly. Yeah. And it's got this beautiful, of course, depends on what kind of paprika you're using. But to me, I love it because it's got this like sweet, dusky earthiness to it.
Dusky is a great word.
Dusky earthiness.
Yeah. But it's not as dusky as like a chipotle.
No, it doesn't have that sort of bitterness. It's got
it's
this like
bitter
very,
dust.
Very like round quality to it. But I mean, one of my favorite things to do is what's that Spanish dish?
Paella.
That one. No, there's another one. Papas bravas.
Papas bravas, yeah.
Right? It's like the fried or roasted potatoes and then you put the pimentón aioli on
it
whatever. Just take a bunch of smoked paprika and mix it with mayonnaise.
Mayonnaise.
And then pop that on like potatoes or whatever. And that's a great way for me to experience paprika.
Has anyone made liquid paprika?
Like, I think it's called hot sauce.
No. You're trying to be funny.
Given what we've talked about today.
You're trying to be funny. But I'm being serious. Like imagine like a liquid paprika instead of like in powdered form, it's like liquid form. Does that
exist? That'd be interesting. Well, I mean, paprika is such a diverse spice, not only within Hungary. Hungary, like, they have paprika festivals. There is a paprika museum. And paprika is, I believe, actually a Hungarian word. But I mean, it all kind of dates back to Latin and whatnot. It's a very complicated history when you get into the trade routes. But it also wasn't even introduced to Hungary until, I believe, the 16th or 17th century from Turkish traders. Because that whole, the Balkans were all under Ottoman Empire rule at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And so it sort of like spread around via that way. But paprika, I think, was originally even cultivated in Spain. And then that made its way to Morocco.
Wow.
Which is crazy. History is fascinating.
It really is fascinating.
But in Morocco, they will mix paprika just with olive oil and create like a spice paste.
Yum.
Which to me, I would love to just rub that on anything. Rub that on my body, go out and tan, you get that nice little red shade from the paprika.
That sounds horrible. Oh, here, paprika how do I say this? Oleo resin.
Interesting. What is that?
Paprika oleo resin is an oil-soluble extract from the fruits of the capsaicum annuum or capsaicum frutescens. And it's basically paprika that is liquefied, and it's used a lot in orange juice, spice mixtures, sauces, sweets, and emulsified processed
meats.
Oh,
the thing you're talking about is paprika extract, which is a colorative.
Yeah, but I guess it has a little bit of flavor in it.
There is paprika extract in Kraft mac and cheese to give it. A lot of the times, paprika extract and turmeric will be combined together to form a sort of natural food dye.
Oh, very cool. But
which is really interesting.
It doesn't taste like anything, does it? Does it?
No, I don't think it has any natural. I mean, I'm sure if you ate it in high doses, it does, but just enough to like color something, it completely doesn't.
Very cool. Do they? Am I imagining this where they feed chickens paprika to make their yolks more orange?
That was the thing that Dan Barber, the chef from New York, really experimental chef. He has a restaurant where they like lead you around to different barns. And, like, you'll walk up to a table in a barn and there's just, like, a single cucumber hanging from a string. And he's like, that's your dish. And then you eat it and it's, like, the best thing you've ever eaten.
Blue Hill
at Stone Barns. I'm exaggerating, but he does a lot of really cool little farming experiments. And, yeah, he did a thing where he fed chickens exclusively red peppers.
Okay.
Or something. Mm-hmm. And apparently chickens can't experience capsaicin.
Okay.
They just lack I don't know. And chickens also don't experience love, I believe.
Aww.
I don't know.
My mom had a pet chicken.
Really?
Yeah. Her name was Pofak, which means popcorn.
Did they eventually
It's highly plausible, but there's so many pictures in my family photo albums of this damn chicken.
How do you choose between a food chicken and a pet chicken?
I don't know, but I have a strong feeling. I think my sister told me, like,
one day that pet's going to end up on the dinner table.
I need to ask more. If you guys want to know more about Popak, just tag me in some chicken pictures later, and we'll talk about it.
But yeah, he fed chickens exclusively red peppers, and it mm-hmm. changed the color of the yolk. I don't know if it changed the flavor, though.
Interesting.
Now every kitchen can be a Mythical kitchen.
The Mythical Cookbook is available now, so go to mythical.com/cookbook and get yourself a copy today.
So what pepper is paprika derived from? Because I think that's a question a lot of people are just waiting to ask.
I made a claim on Twitter once that paprika is just bell pepper powder. In the same way that we have garlic powder, we have onion powder, we have what other things are turned into powders?
Onion.
Yeah, close enough.
Did you say that already?
In the same way that you have garlic powder and onion powder, which literally are just dried, desiccated forms of garlic and onion that are powdered, blah, blah, blah.
Uh-huh.
I was like, paprika is just red bell pepper powder. Mm. And then I got a bunch of Hungarians in the mentions being like,
don't do it.
No, that's my Hungarian accent. No.
No.
No, come on, man. It also sounds like the Robin Williams penguins from Happy Feet. But anyways, so there are a bunch of different cultivars, and they all have Hungarian names. Hold on, I had a list. Edes Nemes, Kulonglegesh, Shishmontes Shishmega. I can't speak Hungarian, so it's very confusing.
You're doing so good, though.
Oh my god, thank you so much.
Someone who has never heard Hungarian. Feledes. Never have I ever heard Hungarian.
No, but I mean, most of them are sweet. Most of them are not spicy, and they are not all just red bell pepper. And I think that's a big misconception. I say that's a big misconception as if I wasn't the exact person perpetuating it.
The misconception.
I was misconceived. That sounds like I was an accident.
I'm sorry. It's okay, I was.
Were you?
Vacation baby.
Oh my god, no way.
Yeah.
Well, that's great. No, I was conceived in the woods. That explains a lot about me. That's I don't know the exact context. I just know that it was like in the woods in Virginia.
I was conceived in Lake Tahoe, so not too far.
Oh my god, like at like a casino? Like like one of the
a cabin? They were on a family.
We're both
vacation.
Woods babies.
That explains so much.
We're both feral children. Look at us. And look how far we've come. Now we're talking about paprika that we only seem to half understand because neither of us knows anything about Hungarian. I think I'm part ethnically Hungarian, too. I think
That's
I'm a Cossack.
Cool. Why don't you do
or a Magyar.
I don't get why you and Julia, both of you, just don't get 23andMe.
23andMe scares me.
It's awesome.
If anyone has any, like, people always worry about what sort of data their phone is collecting, right? And I don't have a lot of worries about that. Mm-hmm. Give me ads for the weird shorts and weightlifting supplements that you think I want and need, Jeff Bezos.
Sure.
There's like a different level of like, I'm going to spit in the cup and just send all my genetic information to someone through the mail. That's a little weird.
No,
I
did it and I found out that I'm 2% unknown, which is fun because it makes me feel like I might be an alien.
And did that like make your life better?
I reconnected with some family members that I would have never met.
Are they cool?
Because
like that's what I'm saying, right?
It's just interesting. It tells you like this is like an ad for 23andMe. It like tells you like if you have like certain genetic like possibilities, like if your pee smells from asparagus or not.
You couldn't tell if your own pee smells from asparagus. You needed to spit in a cup and send all your genetic information so they can sell it to like drug companies and clone you.
And then also like your percentage of Neanderthal, because all of us have a little Neanderthal in us. Because like apparently like we made it with like not Australopithecine, but like we like Homo sapiens like made it with like Cro-Magnons or whatever. And like all of us have like a little percentage of it. And like I found out.
What the hell are you talking about?
I'm being honest. It's a test in the 23andMe. Why are you looking at me like that?
They're going to clone you. They're going to take your spit.
Is that so
bad? They're going to clone you to harvest your organs.
Is that so bad?
To sell to rich people. I've seen The Island. I've seen Gattaca.
Having
nothing good comes
Nicole
from this.
Nicole sounds great.
Nothing good comes from this. Nicole, if you were to recommend one dish for people to really experience paprika, what would you tell me?
Deviled eggs, Josh.
Just
deviled eggs. The answer is deviled eggs because all you need is a small strip and of the paprika on top of your eggs and you're good.
That is, when I think of paprika, and especially like the most useless uses of paprika,
yeah.
It is absolutely the little red powder on top of deviled eggs.
Yeah.
And I think that's
for
like,
sure.
I think that's like where a lot of people experience it. It's like, red thing.
Yeah.
And you're not going to taste it.
No, but like, it's a good like segue. Like,
to you know what I think about a lot?
What?
That there are certain times when I've probably eaten a whole dozen eggs worth of deviled eggs, right?
You know?
And if they were just hard boiled, I would never eat 12 hard boiled
eggs.
You know
what I was thinking about the other day? Like the difference between like white people parties and like Persian people parties, and y'all just have a tray of eggs out there.
Yeah, yeah. But the eggs are mixed with mayonnaise and there's a little bit of red dust on top, so it makes sense.
Y'all just go to town on a pallet of eggs.
Like, Persian people parties don't just got a bunch of eggs out there?
No, there's egg salad, but like it's not.
Oh, yeah,
like,
yeah.
But y'all just pop eggs like I've never seen before. It's crazy.
It's kind of weird because we throw them back like horse pills. We'll just be in conversation, just take a whole half an egg and just go.
Yeah, just exactly.
It's very alien.
I agree.
You
it
know?
Is very alien.
Yeah, yeah.
There's this.
You know about, let's talk about white people party culture. You know about Kakana cheese balls?
They're the most American thing in the world.
Yeah,
are
yeah.
Are they the nut rolled ones?
Yeah, but some of them are like weirdly red.
Mm,
it'll be like their wine
paprika?
Flavored one. No,
oh,
no, no.
The port
ones. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I've always I like that's like pure Americana to me, like a cheese ball.
Yeah, it's like if you mix cheese whiz with a little bit of like red wine and sawdust and then rolled it in almonds.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And then you put a little bit of that on your deviled eggs and just slurp it down.
Yeah, that's really interesting. Like, never did that before. But there's this red pepper spread that has paprika in it, and it's Lithuanian, and it's like a cheese.
Ivar?
No. Some people think it's that, but it's not. It's like a creamy, cheesy, paprika-y spread.
That sounds great.
Yeah, it's really good. It's Lithuanian.
We need to get into more Balkan cuisine.
Yeah, I don't think there's a lot of representation in LA, unless I'm wrong.
There's not. I have a Serbian neighbor. Shout out to Nesh. He's been offering to make me cevapcici.
Mm.
I don't really know what that is, but every time I see him, he goes, "Hey, when are you coming over for cevapcici?" And I'm like, I'm really busy, but I should take them up.
Balkan sausage.
It's a Balkan sausage?
Yes.
That sounds great. Balkan sausage was my nickname in high school. And once his mother-in-law made me really delicious Serbian stuffed bell peppers in the spice profile. And it was just so delicious and
that
homey
sounds really good.
And filled with marjoram and winter spice. And it was really great.
I'm trying to find this darn red pepper spray from the Lithuanian people, but I can't find it. Just red!
Pimentone.
What is pimentone?
Pimentone is Spanish smoked paprika that's dried over white oak.
Wow.
And it's just European chipotle powder.
That's crazy.
There should be a chain of burrito restaurants all across Europe called Pimentone.
I'm surprised they haven't.
Like Chipotle, but Pimentone.
That's good. You want to pitch it to freaking Mark Cuban or something? Like, what do you want?
You can sell it at the Mavericks games. You know what I think's funny?
What?
How many of these crops just didn't exist? How many crops didn't exist in the rest of the world until, you know, the Americas were, I don't know, pillaged, whatever the verb you're supposed to use is, because it wasn't discovered because they were just like people there.
Discovered
I don't know.
Is a nice word.
Yeah, whatever. But how many potatoes, for instance, right? Someone tweeted at us once. Are mashed potatoes just Irish guacamole?
Oh, yeah, I remember that. No.
And it's like, no, because potatoes are also from the same place that avocados are from.
Exactly.
That's just mashed potatoes are just South American,
potatoes.
Central American guacamole, if you want to say
think,
that.
You think they have
no,
avocados
they have,
in Ireland?
No, I'm saying they have like nothing to do with each other, but like potatoes aren't Irish, right? They've been naturalized, but potatoes didn't get to Ireland until Walter Raleigh brought them in like the late 1400s.
Yes.
You know?
Do you think that the potato famine was because Ireland didn't know how to like cultivate the?
No, the potato famine was all because of like really terrible British politics.
Oh.
Like, no, it was like borderline just the British crown trying to genocide the Irish.
Shut
it's
up.
Really messed up. Yeah.
Do they not like each other?
I don't know.
Like,
oh,
hate?
Yeah, there's like whole wars about it. My God. Oh, for hundreds of years. Yeah,
I didn't, like,
really,
dive
really
into
terrible.
That. I didn't like dive into that.
Shout out to all the Irish homies out there.
Yeah.
Y'all have been screwed around with for a lot of history. And the potato famine was absolutely avoidable. The potato blight wasn't, but the Irish farmers weren't allowed to keep a majority of their crops.
That's not very.
And they were sold out by some of the like Irish aristocrats at the time who were sort of just collaborating with the British government. But anyways, back to paprika. I don't know the whole history behind it, but I'm comfortable
it's
with
dark,
my,
yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Paprika.
Hey, did you know that the zoo sometimes includes paprika in the food of the flamingos in order to help keep them pink?
Well, because, like, flamingos aren't, they're not, well, they eat a bunch of shrimps, right?
Yeah, uh-huh.
And that's what turns them pink? And
I guess. They got, like, kelp. I don't know.
Plankton. Whelks.
Whelks?
What's a whelk?
I think it's an animal that is in a shell.
I think so. I had a bunch of whelks. Hold on. I want to make a call out to the Hungarian Board of Tourism. I think that more Americans need to know about, all we know is paprikash and goulash and, langos.
Don't know what langos is.
Langos is like a fried dough topped with like a cream and, or like a yogurty substance and cheese.
We
made it for GMM and that was really delicious.
Yeah.
But I would like to officially, open up our candidacy for you and I, Nicole, to travel to Hungary, to Budapest, and on the dime of the Hungarian Board of Tourism,
of course. Oh my gosh, I would love that.
And we'll become the official, like, American spokesman for Hungarian food. Because I think it needs a big PR campaign.
I think, no, not the food, but just paprika. I think we should be the ambassadors of paprika.
We should be the, yeah, we will don large billowy dresses filled with peppers.
I was going to say, I want to dress the color of paprika.
I would love
I want one. You can have one, too.
I think that's our official... I think I would look... Yeah, I have the legs for a dress. I have these long dancer's legs that I think would look great in a frilly paprika-themed dress.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
This is it. If anybody has any hookups with the Hungarian Board of Tourism, we will...
Tag us in the Instagram.
Yeah, yeah. I think a political situation in Hungary is a little dicey in the last 5 years.
What country
is it? That's fine. That's what I'm saying. We're there for the paprika. We're not... This isn't an endorsement of Viktor Orban's politics. This is merely us wanting to get down with the paprika.
Josh,
so,
closing
Hungary,
statements.
Reach out. Just like we will not endorse any proto-fascist policies.
Josh,
Just the paprika.
Josh, okay. Closing statements. Answering the question that we are asking, what the heck is paprika?
What the heck is paprika? Paprika is a very misunderstood spice. It is the combination of hundreds of years of history to cultivate chili peppers and their related varieties in the colder climates of Hungary. And we misunderstand it because American grocery stores typically only carry one or two varieties. But pick up a bunch of different... Go to Amazon and just, like, get some imported Hungarian paprika for $6 or whatever. And then dump, like, 5 times more of that onto your food than you're used to. And really get to know the flavor because it's a beautiful spice with a beautiful history. And it deserves more respect. Dang it.
Now you ask me.
Nicole, what do you think about Hungary's threats to leave the European... No, Nicole, what do you think about paprika?
It's red.
That too. All right, Nicole, we've heard what you and I have to say. Now it's time to find out what other wacky ideas are rattling out there in the Twitterverse. It's time for a segment we call...
Opinions are like casserole!
First up, we got at Becca Birdsell. Peppery gravy is an acceptable dipping sauce, specifically for fries and chicken tendies.
There's this Dairy Queen?
Dairy Queen!
Yes!
I love that you know Dairy Queen is the only fast food place that gives you gravy specifically as a condiment for chicken
tenders.
Yes,
I know this, and I enjoy it very much, so this is a good opinion. It is a grand opinion.
If you were saucing a chicken tender, though, you need a higher quantity of gravy per bite than something like barbecue sauce, right?
No.
You don't think so?
Mm-mm.
But gravy's not as strong of a flavor, right? It's not as pungent.
It's about the texture.
Yeah, God, I do love gravy. That's why I like that they specified peppery.
Yeah, because we know it's white gravy.
Yeah, and then you're getting more flavor per volume.
Sure.
Yeah, so I respect that. I agree with that. Also, KFC, their gravy is great just as a dip for chicken tendies.
KFC has good gravy.
Oh, it's so good.
It has a great taste.
It's roasty.
It's good.
Oh, God, I love good brown gravy. You know what I can't stand, though?
Mm.
The beef gravy in a packet. Oh. I grew up eating that.
Yeah.
God, that
is... Yeah,
but
just stick your finger in and then rub it in your gums just to feel.
Oh, no.
You're weak.
Oh, it's my nightmare.
You're weak.
Oh, God.
Okay, Lou Bagus says, crackers topped with cream cheese and a green olive is the best salty snack. I am the queen of Ritz with cream cheese and a misnomer on top. Let it be an olive. Let it be an anchovy. Let it be a tomato. Let it be a swivel of honey. I love it.
This is the Mambo Number 5 guy?
this is
Lou Bega.
No, that's Lou Bega.
This is
Lou Bega. You can't sing it.
I really prefer crackers topped with cream cheese. And then here we go. A little bit of jalapeno jelly.
I was going to say hot sauce, but okay.
That's talking about white people party
food. Pepper jelly,
yeah. People party food. You get the Ritz crackers, non-saltine Ritz, or Keebler Club, our fave.
Wow, Keebler Club. Every time you bring it up, my eyes just sparkle.
You swoon over Keebler Club.
They're so good.
Yeah, all the structure of a saltine, all the butteriness of a Ritz. Keebler Club. We're now out to both Keebler and the Hungarian Board of Tourism for a sponsorship. And if we can get both of them on a package deal, huge.
Oh, my gosh.
Huge. Tour of Hungary's paprika facilities brought to you by Keebler Club, the official club cracker of Hungary.
Anything is possible, Josh. Just gotta pitch it the right way.
That's the ultimate white people party food. It's a Keebler Club cracker, cream cheese, and pepper jelly on it.
I like pepper jelly.
I think the olive, too much savory. I want some sweet to cut the cream. At Sarah T. Hoyt. All pasta, from the most expensive to the cheapest, tastes the same after it's covered in sauce.
This is a test I think we have to do. I think I understand what they're saying.
Mm-hmm.
And it might be very... It depends on...
talking about grocery store pasta, right?
Yeah, I'm guessing. I think you
get the Walmart spaghetti versus the $9 whatever Italian brand spaghetti.
The canvas bag that they put on the side, yeah.
That's going to taste the same, I believe. I don't think you could tell the difference in a taste test.
I would love to try it in a taste test.
I would, too. I mean, but there's certain, where I go, if I'm buying expensive pasta noodles, it's because they're, shapes that don't exist from the major companies, right?
Yeah,
They're the fun ones. They're the, even bucatini.
You ever seen that long pasta that's, a long fusilli? Sorry.
Yeah, that's a trip.
That's cool.
Weird. I've never seen that in a store.
Me too, but I want
it. But it's one giant fusilli noodle.
I really want it.
Is that your ultimate pasta shape?
No!
We should
invent till I die, son!
Our own pasta shape.
Someone's already done that
I'm kidding.
Before.
Shout out to Dan Pashman from The Sporkful. That
really
was a really
cool.
enjoyable series. I've still never had it. It's called Cascatelli.
I think we should buy it.
We should definitely buy it. I should reach out.
Yeah, why not?
Dan, I don't know why I haven't reached out. I'm a big fan. I really enjoy your stuff.
I think you need to... cross the bridge sometimes,
Josh.
I think it'll help you.
I need to make more friends.
Yeah, it'll help us.
So right now we're out to Keebler Club Crackers, Dan Pashman of The Sporkful, and the entire nation state of Hungary.
Okay.
And if we can combine, Nicole, all three of those onto the same sponsorship.
Oh my gosh.
That's going to be huge for us.
But two carbs, though?
That's tough.
Okay.
That's tough.
Sezzle Bear says, Vegemite is the world's most versatile food. It's a salty stock. You can use it to flavor and thicken or eat it.
Interesting.
I've never made a Vegemite stock.
I have never cooked with Vegemite, really. I really love Vegemite, and I prefer it to Marmite.
Did you not make an Australian soup one time with kangaroo and Vegemite, or am I making that up?
I think you dreamt about that.
Nuh-uh.
I think you work too much.
Nuh-uh. I don't work too much. I'm pretty sure there was a GMM episode where you made an Australian soup. Or maybe someone did.
Maybe someone made that. That could have been Willet Soup or something
before
my time.
Yeah,
I made a Vegemite pizza once, which was really good.
Oh, was it good?
But yeah, I mean, I really love Vegemite. Do you like Vegemite?
I love Vegemite, but I can't eat it more than once a year.
What?
It makes me sick.
Vegemite is, it's like yeast,
it's
right?
Yeast
but
extract.
I don't know what yeast is. Yeast, it's an animal.
It's a living
organism. It's like bacteria thing.
Yeah. And it eats. It eats and then it farts.
But that's baking yeast.
I think they're related. I think they're related.
If someone was like, Nicole, I'll give you $100 if you can accurately describe how Vegemite is made and what it is.
I have no idea.
I would have no idea.
I would have to watch a video
I just go, it's yeast. And I don't know what that means.
I have a strong feeling it has...
What's the goo? Because it's a goo. Where does the goo come from? Is the goo the yeast? Is that the yeast bodies?
I think it might be a cooked down block of yeast with water and they just cook it down until it's...
I have no idea. All I know is it's delicious.
Yeah, it's all right.
Here we go. At Michaela W97, bread tastes better smushed. Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and hard disagree on that. I feel like the point of bread is that it's not smushed.
Sometimes,
I feel like if you're smushing bread,
I get what they're saying. You got whenever you go in and you eat the white part and you smush it in a ball.
I do like the toothsome texture of it. Michaela, I have a great idea for you. Flatbreads. That's a pre-smooshed bread that you can just buy.
No, it's not. It's not smooshed.
Well, I mean, it's
the fun
it's,
part is you take the fluffy... I understand, Michaela. You take the fluffy bread and then you compact it and you squish it into a ball and then you eat it. I get it.
Yeah, but then you get so much less bread per volume.
But you get so much more enjoyment out of the bread you're eating.
Mm-mm. It's like if you take a fruit by the foot. And
yes.
You mash it into a ball, into one
yes.
giant, dense gusher.
Yes.
Yeah, I understand this.
That's
understand
the one.
This.
Would you ever make any fill it with anything?
What?
Your homemade gusher.
My homemade bread gusher?
Yeah.
Little bit of Vegemite.
You're lying.
A little bit of Vegemite gushers.
You're lying. You're a liar. You're lying. That was my Australian accent. Did you like
You're lying.
It? You're lying.
You're lying.
You're lying. Okay. Mia Charlboy says... Bagels plus cream cheese plus nacho cheese Doritos.
Ah, this is a derivation of the French mother dish bagel plus cream cheese plus hot Cheetos.
Yes, me yes, being yes, the yes. French mother. And I don't like this. You need to put the hot Cheetos on there or else it's non-applicable. I don't like it.
I feel the nacho cheese Doritos step on the cream cheese.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think even throw, cheese. Say, like a Cool Ranch. If you're not going flaming hot, I'd say throw a Cool Ranch
Too
on
much
there.
You know what's you the know? Best one to put on there?
Salsa verde.
Say Funyuns.
Oh, that'd be nice.
Because you know how like you have a bagel with like lox and like onions,
red
and
onion on it. Get yeah. some funny.
Mine said Funyuns.
You know what chip needs to make a comeback, Nicole, and that's the wasabi Funyun.
I've never had it.
Heck of a chip.
Yeah.
Also, it's funny because wasabi flavored things are just horseradish flavored things.
Yeah, they're just green.
Yeah,
just dyed green.
Because almost all wasabi in the U.S. is horseradish that's been dyed green.
Yeah. Ooh.
Podcast alert.
No, I was going to say, that's like a big, like a punch in the face to all sushi eaters, me being one
oh,
of them.
Oh, yeah. Well, have you had a, like, fresh wasabi?
Yeah, I
fresh
have.
Wasabi?
I have, and maybe I just don't taste them.
Pretty wild, man. I love it.
Yeah.
That's
okay.
Good. That's Nicole. That's good. That's
Lazy
good,
Guppy says.
Oh, man. That's good.
On to the next one. Lazy.
Okay.
Stop making me laugh all the time. Lazy Guppy says, cucumbers marinated in spicy Thai vinegar make the best pickles. Yes, that sounds delightful.
That good. No, that's, come on. That good,
though.
No, that's, I don't know. It's just, it's the ultimate vocal fry.
You're
my
like
Southern California is coming at. Cucumbers marinated in spicy Thai vinegar makes the best pickles. Yeah. No, Jews make the best pickles.
what about Thai Jews?
Okay.
Thai Jews?
There's Thai Jews out there.
I'm
there's
sure.
Thai, there's a halal Thai restaurant really close to us that I never tried.
I'm down.
Yeah, yeah. But anyways, no. So pickles need to have two distinct categories between vinegar pickles or quickles, as I call them, and then pickles.
I love quickles.
I love quickles too, but the best pickles to me are always going to be lacto-fermented.
Mm-mm.
So that's like the Jewish pickles, even like the big whole Vlasic ones in the jar. And I know non-Jews, the Goyish can make the pickles. But I'm saying like a classic lacto-fermented deli pickle, there is a deep umami to it that I freaking love. And that you're not going to get if you're just marinating it in vinegar because you're not going to get that fermentation. And so to me, that it's like the kimchis that you get that are like deep and savory as opposed mm-hmm. to just acid and spice.
Light and crunchy. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and you get that shrimp paste that ferments with the lactobacillus and the cabbage. And ugh, so good. I feel that way about a lot of pickles. So to the point where I have vinegar pickles and I'm like, unimpressed. Color me unimpressed.
I like vinegar pickles. I think they serve a purpose, as do, you know, the good Jew pickles. I love Bubby's pickles.
Yeah, Bubby's.
Can we get sponsored by
Bubby's? Yo, Grillo's, though. I don't know if...
Grillo's!
I don't know if Grillo's has a distinct religious ethno-identity, but I do,
so.
they make good pickles, whatever. Even if the Catholic pickles, those is great pickles,
They're
Grillo's.
Really good pickles. We just eat them like snacks in the kitchen.
Oh, here's a good one. At JP Worthy, peanut butter and syrup on bread is the best late-night snack. Try it. I have tried it.
I've tried it.
Because I love peanut butter and honey sandwiches, but Nicole, sometimes
do.
Our honey is too sticky to use because, you know, sometimes it spills.
Uh-huh.
And so instead of honey, I'll use maple syrup on it or molasses, which isn't very good. Molasses on peanut butter is pretty bad.
No, that's bad.
Point is, I try it. The point is, I try it. Maple syrup's really delicious.
Yeah, maple syrup and
the
peanut
fake
butter.
Stuff. The fake stuff, log cabin.
I don't think it matters if it's fake or real. I think
well, the fake,
fake
stuff's thicker.
Okay, well, that's up to you.
Because it's just corn syrup.
Why don't they make a maple syrup flavored peanut butter?
Oh,
Does that exist?
I don't know.
People should make it.
I got really into fancy nut butters during lockdown, the pandemic, now that the world's opened up, I got out of my fancy nut butters.
Maybe we're going back in.
But if we're going back in, I'm gonna dive back into those $19 jars of like
$19.
I went to the farmer's market once, like right when it was like, hey, things are kind of opening back up, but everyone like fully masked and you know all that.
Mm-hmm.
And I bought two little jars of nut butter, and they were like $19. Each.
And I
almost just like put them back, but they were like, and all our profits go to like help youth organizations with people experiencing homelessness.
Oh.
And I was like, okay.
I guess I'll just buy them.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do they have like macadamia nuts in them?
Yeah. But you know, one of the problems is though, they weren't grind even fine enough to be considered like a nut butter. It was like a nut tapenade. It was pretty bad. And so you'd try refrigerating it just to seize the oils so you could spread it, but then it gets too hard. It was, man.
That sounds really unenjoyable.
You're getting scammed at the Brentwood Farmers Market.
I love the I used to sell cupcakes at the Brentwood Farmers Market.
Yeah?
Yeah. Kayla Bug 8. Ketchup makes cheddar goldfish and Kraft mac and cheese so much better. Do you mean like separately or together?
Yeah, what is cheddar goldfish and Kraft? Are you saying you put ketchup on cheddar goldfish?
And on the mac and cheese? Or do you put cheddar goldfish on the mac and cheese and put ketchup on
it? I have a very high tolerance for hot ketchup on top of like a burger.
Okay.
But when that ketchup steams on top of mac and cheese and you try and take a bite and you get mac and cheese steam diffusing through the ketchup.
I love it.
It's tough for me sometimes.
I love it. I ate ketchup with my eggs the other day, and David looked at me like I was from a foreign body. He was like, what are you doing? I love ketchup on like cheesy things, though. So.
You know what I do sometimes? Sometimes I just make like a plain frittata, which is to say I beat eggs and then put it in the oven until I forget about it. And then it just becomes like a hard brown egg substance, and then I just dip that in ketchup and eat it.
Yeah, you used to make those egg bars.
Egg bars.
You guys want to know how gross Josh is? How gross is he? He would make these. He would make these egg bars with vegetables in it, and he would just leave them in the back of the fridge, and then they started to gray. Remember?
Yeah.
They turned gray?
No, they turned real gray. Yeah. So what you do is you beat together about 30 eggs, and then you add a bunch of vegetables and meats to it, and then you'll bake that off in a giant sheet pan, then you cut that into 10 bars. And then you leave that in foil wrapped in the fridge at work for about 10, 12 days. And then Nicole tries to throw them out and you go, those are my egg bars. What are you doing? She goes, they're gray. And I go, that's the mushrooms. She goes, no, that's just the eggs turning gray. And I go, either way. And that's just a little fun insight into our lives. Well, on that note, thank you for listening to A Hot Dog is a Sandwich. If you want to hear more from us here in the Mythical Kitchen, we got new episodes for you every Wednesday.
If you want to be featured on Opinions Are Like Casseroles, you can hit us up on Twitter at Mythical Chef or and Handyzada with the hashtag Opinion Casserole.
And for more Mythical Kitchen, check us out on YouTube where we launch new videos every week.
And of course, if you want to share pictures of your dishes, hit us up on Instagram at Mythical Kitchen.
See y'all next time.